Again, it is so wonderful to see that we are such a needy people. I was thinking how just over the past, I quit counting days, but let's say 4 months, that the Lord's had me up here to see how many more of you have requests and the boldness that the Lord's given each and every one of us to, again, come boldly and let Him know and lift up our requests of brother of like faith to pray for one another. So again, we're going to be in Hebrews here tonight, Lord willing, chapter 9. We left off at the 13th verse, so I think we'll start in the 11th and we'll read through the 22nd verse all the way through, and then we'll pick up back into the 13th verse of the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews. But Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, and again referring to heaven there, again specifically made in every way for Jesus Christ. And I hope you recognize and realize in your life that heaven truly is where Christ is. And I hope you understand that just being a child of God, there is a bit of heaven in you. And hopefully there's a lot of heaven in you that the Lord continues to reveal to you. But heaven wouldn't be heaven without Jesus Christ. I hope we understand that. It really wouldn't be. Not the heaven that I'm looking forward to. Praise God. See, isn't that wonderful? We don't really care about much those streets of gold or crystal sea or the mansions prepared specifically for us. It's Jesus. When He gets a hold of you, it don't matter where you're at. It's kind of like, I always remember when Polly and I got married and we went back to Little Fillmore over here. And, you know, she was used to a pretty nice house and nice things. And there was the hodgepodge in 650 feet or 700 feet of house. But you know what? I think she was still pretty happy there. She's not here yet, so you can ask her later. But, oh, there she is. Sorry, honey. Okay. Just, there we go. All right. See, keep moving around on me. I'll stay with the study here, Lord willing. But how wonderful it is when you're in love. When you're in love. Even the situations He puts us into, are you in love? Are you still in love with Him? Oh, hallelujah, are we still in love with Him? Thank you, Jesus. But neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. One time. Didn't need to be done anymore. One single time. You know, the Lord's put it on my heart. I'd like to jump over to the 10th chapter. And I think this will all come together. The Holy Spirit's leading this. But I want to jump to the 10th chapter right now and getting into that once again. And we will, Lord willing, go over this. But just go over to the 10th verse. And I just want you to meditate on these verses as well, too, at home or whenever. But again, this once. And how it is finished. And it is so completed. And to daily sacrifice, like it says, to put Him to an open shame. You think of even whether it's the Jews or the different religions, and yes, Catholicism itself, where they even are saying that the blood, I mean the wine becomes the blood, or the bread becomes the body. That's open shame. He did it one time. It's done. It's finished. If you have Christ in your life, you are the new creation. Now, we're not growing in works or ceremony or sacrifice anymore. We are growing in grace. We are growing in grace. And look what it says here in this 10th verse. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Do I need to say who they are? I don't. You just think about it yourself. Daily they sit there. It's ceremony and it's dead. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, one for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. How many more times does it need to say one and once and only and done and finished and gone and it's done? Okay, enough said. Let it just thrill you every moment of the rest of your life. 13. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Aren't you thankful you're called? For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of a force after men are dead. Otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats and water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. Now we visited on this earlier. The bull was for the priest and his family's sin when he went in there. That was what the bull was for. And that speaks of Jesus, the faithful, strong one, and you'll find that in Leviticus 1, 3 through 9. The goat was for the people's sin, which speaks of Jesus, the alert, living one, which you'll find in Leviticus 1, 10 through 13. But we never got to talk about the ashes of the heifer yet. That's Numbers 19, 9. This is a special sacrifice. This was the only sacrifice that was kept as a memorial forever. Every bit of it, all in the ash. And this speaks of that Christ gave it all and is always before us. This was significant, showing that Jesus' sanctification is forever. It is once and for all. And as we read in Hebrews 7:25, His saving is to the uttermost. And let's go back and revisit that verse. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. I just love the expressiveness of the Word of God and how many times over it's not just that He saves you, but it's to the uttermost. Not that He just lives to make intercession, but He ever lives to make intercession. It's so abundant, isn't it? It is so much better. This is how much Christ loves you. What He has given, we'll never understand. You won't. I mean, this is the I Am you're talking about. Talk to a man today. I need to tell my sister. It's a guy that she's always kind of battled with a little bit in work, but he found me. He called me on the phone. He said, "How come I can't find you at the office anymore? Did you sell out on me?" he was saying. Well, this is a guy about my age, and he's a very cerebral person, very methodical, studied young man. And I was telling the brothers about him. And he said, "Well, what are you doing now?" He says, "I know you couldn't be doing nothing. Not you, you know," as he said. And I said, "Well, of all the people, I'd say it'd probably surprise them, but maybe not you." I said, "The Lord's called me in the ministry." He says, "You know, that's not surprising." He says, I appreciate that." And he says, "That's wonderful." He says, "I want to tell you something. The Lord's been dealing with me about the past year and a half." And we talked a little bit about the Lord. He lives in Grand Junction once in a while. He grew up Catholic, but never had given his heart to the Lord. And he said how he got to studying things. And he said, "You know, I studied so much. Everything points to Jesus. There isn't any doubt it is Jesus." And I kind of chuckled and I said, "Oh, I'm glad you found that." And I said, "So He's your Savior?" And he says, "Oh, yeah, He's my Savior." He said, "All the probabilities, all the statistics, there's no way it couldn't be anything but Jesus." And I thought, well, that's kind of an interesting way to get there. But you know what? He got there. And he's safe and he's secure. And, you know, Lord willing, his name is Lou. And he's going to come, maybe, Lord willing, to town here shortly. His name's Lou. And just think of Him. But how precious that the Lord gets a hold of us. But again, even in Titus 3, 5 through 7. Let's turn there. That's Titus 3, 5 through 7. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. You know, I always wonder if other religions are reading the same verses that I'm reading. I mean, do you ever marvel like that? It's just amazing, isn't it? To think, well, I've got to keep it, I've got to say it, how many times do we have to go through? And you understand, I haven't even touched on Titus 3. The Lord hasn't brought us here yet. And think of how many verses we've already touched on. But not by works of righteousness which we have done. According to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Being justified by absolutely no merit, nothing that you could do, ever did, have done. It's just His unending love. Unmerited favor. Isn't that amazing? That you are saved, justified, and made an heir. It was a gift. An absolute 110% gift that you didn't deserve and that I didn't deserve. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah, that He gave to us. But let's talk about that heifer. I'd like to just point out a few things about the heifer, which are just so wonderful. The heifer had to be red. And I would appreciate that you'd go back and look at this. This was the red heifer. The color of the heifer had to be red. Obviously, speaking of the blood, and without the blood, there is no remission of sins. And Lord willing, we'll hope to get there this evening, as we read in that last verse. Number two, it had to be without blemish. It couldn't be all red and have a little white and a little black and a little this and a little that. It had to be completely red, completely without blemish. It had to be perfect. Speaking again of Christ. The next one, it had to be female. Now, I hope I'm not stepping on any of the ladies' toes, but this is a wonderful representation. It had to be weak. It had to be weak. Okay? That's what it spoke of. And it had to have dependency on Christ. Isn't that wonderful? See, ladies, what a wonderful representation that you have in your life. See, when you are dependent on Christ, when you're weak, then you're strong, aren't you? I think women, and a lot of times, have a little leg up on us men sometimes in being able to surrender to the Lord. But you know what? Pride runs both ways. So remember that. So ladies, don't get high-headed here. But that's what it speaks of. It had to be female. Hallelujah. Four, it never was to ever have a yoke on it. You know, the yoke that was put on the cattle to make them go this way or that way to steer them. And that was because Christ was always obedient. There was nothing about Him that didn't respond and comply with the absolute will of God. It was perfect. He was perfect and obviously still is the wonderful servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was slain outside the camp. Outside the city, Christ was buried and rose. There's many others, and I'd touch on one more, which is the blood of that heifer was sprinkled 7 times. And it was sprinkled 7 times to show of the perfected and the perfection of the cleansing that's in our lives. And you'll notice, too, as you read that, it was towards the tabernacle, which is where the people were. It wasn't just thrown anywhere. It was towards the tabernacle for the people. Hallelujah. He saves by grace through faith, doesn't He? Mm-hmm. By grace. Don't care what you say. Don't care what you do. It's, did I accept Christ Jesus as my Savior? That gets it done. And I'm hopeful that the Lord will have such a boldness again. And I appreciated Linda's prayer, if Jesus tarry for Friday. But God gives us a choice. We either will leave this world worthy of death, or as the sons of God inheriting eternal life. And it's that simple. And they looked to this sacrifice every single year, and it cleansed. But they had to do it the next year, and they had to do it the next year, and they had to do it the next year. Hallelujah, till our Lord came. Verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? How much more blunt does it have to be? How much more direct does it have to be? All fleshly works are dead, aren't they? All self-directed deeds are dead. It's His blood, the Christ, the way, the truth, the life, the mediator, the Lord, the I Am, the Lamb of God. It's by the Holy Spirit truly convicting our hearts that we ever even come to a place of acknowledging and surrendering that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Remember, we read that in 1 Corinthians 12:3. This Holy Spirit even empowered Christ to die, to set the joy, the absolute joy, which is us, before Him. Hallelujah. That joy that was set before Him. That's why He endured the cross. It was because of love and the love for you personally. Christ saw you. Every one of us, He saw as He was on that cross. And He did it because of the joy that was set before Him. And He offered Himself and He gave up the ghost and He gladly died that we may live. Aren't you thankful? Hallelujah. Doesn't that grip your heart? I hope it does. What a sweet, sweet, wonderful love message that He did that for us. But through this, He purged or cleansed us. And He gave us a new creation. I died, and now He lives in me. That's Galatians 2:20. We are the new creation. And as we yield to that, and that is by faith, and again, what we're doing tonight by the grace of God, is faith is being built in our life. And this is pleasing to God. But by grace, as this faith is grown into our lives, we can then serve God by grace, and He produces the work of faith in our life. And it will be evident in your life. Christ will change you. Yielding to Christ will definitely change you. We've talked about that many times. You'll find yourself doing things that you can't even believe. You had bad habits before. He starts to take those away, doesn't He? He cleans up your heart. He does. He cleans it up. It's a wonderful thing. Love. Oh, hallelujah. It covered a multitude of sins. And it's amazing what it does in our life, doesn't it? Causes us to love one another. That's one of the biggest things. But then how the abundance of your heart, how the mouth starts to speak. It speaks love. It provokes not people to anger. I used to like to get on people sometimes. I still do it, teasing. But, you know, to really, you know, kind of get at them and different things. Oh, kind of find that weak spot. My dad was good about that one. If you knew my dad, he could kind of get on you. But it's to provoke to love. To provoke to love. That's what the Word of God tells us to do. But it's not me. It's Christ in me that does that. Isn't that amazing? Kind things. Not of yourself. That's why I say it's so amazing. I'm watching new creation man do these things. People look at me and shake their head and say, "You are nuts." But it's true. I'm a new creation. And Jesse watches this thing happen. And I'm telling you, man, it's awesome. And I believe that each and every one of us know that in our own lives. And as we let Him take more of us, isn't it amazing? The power, the true power that takes a hold of us. You know it's there. That's when Christ really becomes real. And see, to me, that's greater, because you know yourself, right? I hope you do. I hope you've been really honest with yourself and know who you are and all those traits. I don't want to hear them. That's between you and God, and you just keep it there. But you know how what you are, and you know when God delivers you from things. I'm talking about deep-rooted things that you know have been in your life all your life. You know, whether they're jealousies or hatreds or whatever it may be, that's beyond to me the parting of a Red Sea. Because it's my life. It's something I know about me that there was no way it was ever going to be delivered. It wasn't because I just matured or I got older or anything like that. Because a lot of times if you just get older and you know people, it gets worse. Do you understand what I'm saying? It really does. It gets worse. But when you give it to the Lord, and He allows that thing to be, you know, really, it's healed. It's not corrected or anything. It's new. It's healed. It's gone. Isn't that an amazing thing? I just sit in awe of Christ and how he does things like that, because we are God. But we can serve him, and that evidence of faith will be evident in our, that faith will be evident in our life. Go over to Hebrews 12:28. This is a verse to always encourage you. Again, that it's him, to not be confused. A lot of people say, well, how do I serve God? You know, what do I got to do? You know, who do I have to be? Do I need to pick out one of the, you know? No, this is who you need to be. Wherefore, we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Hallelujah, it's there. Let us have grace. Oh, grace, here we go again. Whereby, or because of this grace, we may serve God. And not just serve him, but serve him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Do you see that people that try to serve God, it's not going to get it done? It's a gift to serve God. It's the grace of God that allows you to serve God. But then it doesn't stop there about serving God. It talks about serving him acceptably. Again, now we go back to the good, acceptable, good, and perfect will of God. We want the perfect will in our lives. Hallelujah. That's what we're after here, and that's what he wants to give us. By grace we serve. Okay, verse 15. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. It's getting better and better. Because of me, the joy of me and you. Put yourself in there. The joy of me and you. He died and he gladly died. And his life and death and resurrection, in that he is the great high priest. The mediator for you. Again, I so appreciate, Lord, I don't have to defend myself. He's my intercessor. He's my advocate. I've always been a great defender of Jesse. I'll tell you that right now. It's my integrity you're talking about. That's my word you're talking about. And I'm thankful that it does mean something to me, but I don't want it to be a prideful thing. I want to be honest before all men. I want to have a good reputation. I want to be known as a man of God. But that's Christ in me. That's the one that does that work in me. Hallelujah, that I have a good report. That's real grace. That is truly, truly living the grace of God. Knowing that it is him that does that work. I'm going to have weaknesses. I'm going to have thorns all my life because he loves me. Because he absolutely loves me. And there's some things he's not going to allow to be taken from my life. That's going to keep me in a weak state. And that's between me and the Lord. That's between you and the Lord. But by the grace of God, I don't have to submit to that. That's what the overcomer is about. That I know that there's a weakness over me. I know I'm weak in that area. But God can perform that in your life. If he be for you, who can be against you? Who? Are you more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus? Do you really believe that? Then quit living a lie. Quit living the enemy's lie. That he would keep taking you down that path, whether it's daily, monthly, whatever it is, and defeating your life. You are a new creation. You are a son of God. You have the absolute power of Christ himself all over you. I know that's hard for us to believe. Sometimes when it's hard to get out of bed. But you do. And that's what he wants us to take hold of. And that's what delivers us from everything. Everything. And that's the New Testament, as it's talking about here. And that New Testament was grace upon grace, allowing us to go boldly before him for everything. That we now are a son of God. That he died, and oh how he died. So we will never die. Just as I was thinking about Gary. I'm going to tell him. Some people say Gary died. Gary didn't die. I always think about that about Jesus. Oh, Lazarus sleeps. Lazarus sleeps. Oh no, Lord. Oh, Lazarus sleeps. Oh, no. Okay, Lazarus is dead. Whatever you want to call it, he's dead. Now, I know he's not because he's in me. Just like Gary's in me. He's just sleeping. More real than I'm standing here, he's with the Lord. I was thinking, Gates is now a pauper to him. Lance Armstrong is very sickly to him. And he's waiting for us. And then he's going to get that body. Hallelujah. Glorified body like unto his own. That's inheritance. That's inheritance. And it's coming. It's coming. I think it's pretty soon. World's out of control. I heard who they're thinking of president. Nope. Can't get into politics tonight. Stop. Okay. All right. No, and I'm telling you, it's all out of control. And all of them are bad if they're not in the Lord. And I'm telling you, every man is there for himself and woman. So just remember that pretty much across the board. And you just pray for whoever's in power. And you know that the Lord set them up there. And do you believe that? I'm serious. And I hope we would pray for them. I don't care if it's your party or if it's not. You pray for them. And you know what? The Lord will, their hearts are in His hands. They can't do anything without Him. But I am justified right now. I'm without sin because of His blood. I am clean. I am free. I'm redeemed. We're no longer under the law because of His calling, as it says here. And our response to that calling by the acceptance of faith and believing, that is our eternal redemption. And in verse 12, it was the beginning of my eternal inheritance. Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Kind of jumped the gun there a little bit thinking about this, but shoot, when this is ours, how could we not jump the gun? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. The world don't know who you are, do they? You know, some of you might have good jobs or different things like that, and a lot of us don't, whatever. They just kind of pass us by. I always remember when I was doing my business a little bit and, you know, kind of own the company, and I just kind of still show up in my jeans and deliver the stuff. They said, oh, that was the delivery boy. I never said anything. I thought that was kind of funny. But you know what? That's kind of how they see us anyways. They think that you're a bunch of nut fools, don't they? Just rejects. That's why you come here so much. Serious. You go to church 3 times a week? What? Man, you really must be bad, huh? But see, we're coming here to learn. We're coming here to rejoice and to increase faith. I'm coming here for inheritance. I'm not coming here because I'm bad. I already knew that. I'd be bad at home. I'd be bad here. That's all right. I'm new in Him. And we're coming together for inheritance. This is building our faith. And that's wonderful. And one of the benefits of my inheritance is that faith allows me to cope with this life. I know the reason I'm living. Oh my gosh, do you know the reason you're living? I mean, to really know why you're here. You just sit there and I look at you and it's wonderful. I see the smile. I see my brothers and sisters, the like faith. We know. More than anything I really know, I can say, I know why I'm here. No doubt about it. And I know where I'm going. I know it's being prepared. I know who's over there waiting. Oh, hallelujah. My loved one's gone before me. My grandpa, my dad. They're just over there having a good time. I'm jealous. They got there first. But He so loves us that we're here. And there's a work being done. There's a finishing time. And He said He'd perform that work in us, didn't He? Hallelujah. To know that the I Am said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you helpless. I put you here for a reason. And I'm going to finish and complete you. If you'll allow me to do it, I'll even make you a joint heir with me. Wow. Wow. I just better go on. But beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. I mean, just go there. You're going to be like Him. This is the one that spoke it. And it's there. Just like that man said, he studied all of it. He saw how complex our bodies are. He was talking about that. How just this planet, he read about that book about, I told you, I think about so many years ago, I even mentioned it about those, they had the astronomer and the physicist, the greatest in the world. They were both agnostics, whatever. They didn't know if really God existed, and they did a probability. And it went so many millions of places to the decimal point right that there was just no way that there's anything like this anywhere in the galaxies, in the universe. It's not here. It doesn't exist. There is no way. And if something did, I don't care. That's the other thing. It's like, that's great. I love the shuttle. I think it's neat. I love to fly. You know that. I love to fly fast. 17,000 miles an hour sounds great. But that's going to be nothing someday. I was thinking, man, whew, can't even imagine. I said, Lord, can I still feel the wind in my face, though, or something, you know, going along? Hallelujah. But that's inheritance. Man, we shall be like Him, like Jesus Himself. The Word of God says He's the Alpha and the Omega. And we know it. He's beginning and end. A body like unto His own glorious body, ever to be with the Lord. Now that's inheritance. And that's yours right. We spoke about right there is yours right now. It's not going to be. It's we know. We know. It says, and we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. He's talking to us. Do you know that? You don't think you have something to look forward to? Oh my gosh. To look forward to that. Praise God. It is all mine. I love that song. Hallelujah. Verse 16 and 17. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. He was born to die, a perfect life and a perfect death. The testator, if you look that up, it's one who has made a will. And he made a will. Oh, he made a will. It's one who has died leaving a valid will. And there isn't a more valid will than this. And this is the will. We talked about it the other day, didn't we? This is God's will for each one of us. Okay? Now, it's all yours. It's all mine. But we have to believe it. Did you know that? That's the only thing it's required. It's to believe it. Now, I can be an heir of God if I just believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior. Isn't that awesome? I'm an heir of God. And everything that we just read through about the body and about that, seated together and all those wonderful things, that's mine right there. Boom. Okay. Now, you think about what He's bringing us into as well, too. The joint heirship. Those are the things, the promises. How much are we going to believe of Him? But what? How do we get the belief? That's faith. How are you going to get faith if you don't listen to the Word of God? How are you going to believe these things of the Lord Jesus Christ that He has for you and these promises to inherit if you don't study the Word of God to show yourself approved that you can have this will? It's true. But it's spirit and truth. Isn't that wonderful now too? See, if it was just truth and you say, well, I've got to read and I've got to... No, it becomes alive. It becomes real. It's not Bible literature class. I still love that because I remember sitting in there taking Bible lit and they were reading things. And I said, well, if they listen to that, they'll get saved. And maybe somebody did. I could write a term paper and say stuff about that. And if they wanted to mark it up, they would. But I had a pretty good teacher and she knew that I loved the Lord. And she also knew that it was pretty good paper. So she gave me a pretty good grade. So that was good. But this is real. It's alive. It's living. But how much of the inheritance are you going to take? Okay, I want to see all that. But you know, to truly see all that, it's really being the overcomer. And it's living that heirship right now. It's not like I'm magically going to live it over there. Brother Hill talked about that so many times. The bride makes herself ready. She believes these things. They're real to her. Every day in her life, the transformation is happening in our lives here. It's like I said, when you fall in love with Jesus, it changes you. And it changes from glory to glory every day. Doesn't it? And it's true. Even when he has you still and there's things that are going on and you might not feel you're going anywhere. Oh, such great faith that you're getting at that moment. And then what does it say? Think on these things. What do you think he said? Think on these things. Why do you think he said, watch for my appearing, love my appearing? Are you looking for my appearing? Because you know why? Because he knew there would be days when it would be, oh, man, I want to get out of here. Oh, what am I doing here today? I don't want to live anymore. I want to live for Jesus. And there's lots of things we go through, and we've talked about this before, many of us. Would you be where you are today with the relationship of Jesus Christ if he didn't take you through the things you just went through? Or the thing that you're right now going through? It may be ripping your heart out, but how close are you to God right now? You're in a Bible study. Oh my! I think there's a lot of love for somebody to be here on a Wednesday night. This world and the enemy's got a lot of subtle things to grab at us all the time. I'm not trying to stroke you here in any way, to throw roses at you, but it's a fact. The Lord's getting us. He's getting us ready. It's wonderful. You can sense the pulling, what's going on here. Let me just finish up on this 16 and 17, and then I think we'll adjourn. But it's a wonderful will. And it is His Word that is our will. And it's all of it, and it's beyond, again, by faith and believing. By faith and believing. By grace. Isn't that wonderful to think that you don't have to do anything? Every day I get up and I think, I got to do this. I got to do that. I go to work, you know, or whatever, the work you do. Got to do, got to go do. You know, even as a minister, believe it or not, there's things I have to do and all of that. But such a wonderful release in studying the Word of God. I'm thankful. I am. I can truly say I'm thankful. You can ask me next week. But I'm thankful the Lord has called me and I've accepted His call. Okay? But wherever we're at, we're to be accepting of that call. See, because that's where He perfects us. If I take a place that He doesn't want just because I think it's somewhere I need to be or it's really spiritual, we're gonna hurt the work there, right? He's the potter. Right? He's the potter. I'm the clay. I want the best. You want the best. I think in your life, for your kids, whatever it is, you want the best for these things. How much for forever? How much for forever? And then think of yourself as a parent. You're an example. Every one of you parents, me, we're examples. What a testimony. I don't want to trip up my kid. I want him to see Dad as, you know, Dad's a man of God. Look what he did. But he's not out here gloating about it or anything. It's just, you just did it. How could I not? How could we neglect such great salvation? You see? That's the grace of God. That's the love of God. Causing me to do things that I would not. I love to think of that. I know that my flesh does things that I wouldn't do and all that. But I love to think about He causes me to things I wouldn't do. He's bringing in me to things that I could never even think of doing. I want to live victory. Hallelujah. Living in Him. But He died so that we could inherit it. And He did die. And it's finished. And again, let's live the heirship that we are right now. And the will that He gave us is free and it's aired. And I just want to read Hebrews 6:17 one more time to you. We studied that so long ago. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. That's you. The immutability of His counsel. He confirmed it by an oath. That means it's unalterable. It's confirmed. He promised it. He can't lie. And in death, He completed it. And in verse 17, it tells us that it is of force. It's ever powerful. It's unchanged. And most importantly, it's been activated. It's in effect. Nothing can stop it. It's increasing at an increasing rate, isn't it? It's ever increasing. And it's going to be like that forever. I appreciate talking to one of the brothers about, and actually sister, I think it was even two different ones this last week, how, again, and we've heard it so many times, how much more you see. And you've read that thing how many times? And it just expands and it expands and it expands. What else could you say in this earth, world, whatever it is, expands? I can't think of anything. You know, I can see a good movie maybe once, maybe twice. Then you know it. You read a book and, you know, they can talk all about it, but then they throw it away. The making of books, there'll be no end, right? This one never changed. This one never changed. It's all right here. It's all right for the taking, isn't it? Aren't you thankful that He's shown us this? I mean, isn't it amazing? It's simplicity, isn't it, though? This isn't hard stuff. It isn't. The difficulty is our flesh. And know that. The difficulty is your flesh. Because it's always going to hold you back from believing. Our flesh is a strong thing. It is. The Spirit's willing. The flesh is weak, but it's a strong thing in the things of sin. Being led into sin. Being led into reason. Fear. All of those things. Perfect love casts out all fear, doesn't it? See, that's the perfect love of God. And He can deliver everything. Everything to us. It's exciting. It's an exciting life, isn't it? You can sit there and say, oh, my life. No, it's exciting. It really is. I don't care where you're at. If you're a child of God, it's exciting. Or you're not living the child of God. An heir of God. You're an heir of God. It's exciting. Okay? Sweet time. Love you so. Let's pray. Lord, we just again thank You for this time of fellowship. And such sweet fellowship with You, Jesus. You're so real. Thank You for being so sweet to us and such grace. And thank You again for letting Your Holy Spirit just again have sway over this meeting. And Lord, we again just ask that only You be magnified in our lives and in this meeting and all that we do. And again, I just can't thank You enough. I mean, and I know the people here feel the same way. We just can't thank You enough. And we say, why me? Why me? Why me? Lord, just help us to believe. Help us to believe. As Brother Copley said, what if I'd have missed it? Lord, I say for us, don't let us miss it. Don't let us miss it, Lord. Keep us running. Keep us running. Looking up to You. We just thank You for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.